When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Chelsea podcast. I'm Chaz, and as ever, I have the majestic Mooch with me. How are you, pal?
I'm good. I've gone from mighty to majestic. I'm loving these...
Clearly, I'm going to run out of alliterative words to use on you, but, you know, majestic is a pretty good descriptor. So how are you feeling after this one, mate? Here we are, a couple of days after the Brighton game. Taking it all in, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, good result. Happy with the result. It seems
was
like
it, we... Was it really... I mean, do you think it was a sort of... I saw this a lot from fans on social media and what have you. Did you think it was an any win will do situation, or
you know, every game at the moment is any win will do? we're playing football to win games, and I think we did make it easy for ourselves, but that seems to be something that it's happening all too often. Saying that, I thought we did okay. We played well in spells. I thought when we were down to 10 men, we looked decent. Grinding out a result that we should have cruised through, fine. You can look at it like, okay, we should have put that game to bed and not been in this position. But you can also look at it like, okay, cool. Backs against the wall. We sort of ground out the 3 points. And you know, considering we were down to 10 men, I think that's we've got to see this as a big positive.
Yeah, I think it was a really odd kind of game in that it certainly wasn't one of our most fluid performances. It wasn't as easy on the eye or as fun or as cohesive as say City or I suppose Spurs were. But it was clearly a big improvement on the Newcastle game. Although, I mean, De Zerbi rather bitterly said afterwards we were the better team from the first moment to the end of the game, which is, I mean, it's just a lie. It's just, I mean, if nothing else, between kind of minutes, between minutes Sorry. Five and minutes and the end and the second goal, we were by far the better team. I mean, they actually looked all at sea really for a little bit. After that, I did feel, until the end of the first half, certainly we took our foot off the pedal. We looked like we might get a little bit overrun in midfield. The defence looked a bit nervy. So it was a bit of a strange Patchy. Performance. Yeah.
Yeah. Odd. But I think it's again, the defence was a bit cobbled together. De Sarzi, although he was a marauding beast of a man and sort of just, I wouldn't like to see him play longer than a few games at right back.
No. I mean, going forward, he looked all at sea, didn't he, really? He looked nervous. Let's put it that way. He was playing it very simply. He wasn't obviously doing anything in the way of attacking Endeavour that you'd see from Reese or even Malo Gusto. So, yeah, that was a shame. And I do think Levi Colwill is, you know, he's a much better centre-back than he is a left-back. Although, but both of them, as you've said, you know, in the end, defensively, it's very hard to knock a side who are, you know, have lost a man and still manage to draw a second half of football when they're a man down.
I'm a big fan of Colwill, but I do also think that he defensively was weak. You know, I think for the goals, I think you know, it just not beating his man, or not getting to the ball first.
I know what you mean.
And I'd like to see him be more ruthless.
Yeah, I think you see him, don't you? Kind of think he'll let whoever the oppo is get the ball on the edge of the box or whatever, and he'll stand him up. Well, you know, he'll saunter over to him and stand him up and then take him from there. But it never gets to that. I mean, we saw it against Spurs. I felt like he gave whoever it was, Kulusevski or whoever it was, far too much room for their goal. And I felt, to be honest, although we're getting ahead of ourselves a bit in terms of the game, but you're right. I felt, to be honest, he was at least a little bit at fault for the Buonanotte goal. It was a lovely goal, but you know, I felt he could have got
too
to
much
his
space, came yeah, in on absolutely. His left, bang.
Yeah. And I think as a centre back, I think the getting across thing is a whole different position to play. And I just think, you know, both of those situations, obviously he was playing left back, and I just wonder if he's, you know, I know he's a bit more comfortable in the centre, but yeah. So, I mean, all things considered, it could have been a lot worse, really, couldn't it? I suppose that's a thing to take away from us. And how nice was it to see not only two players who hadn't scored before scoring goals for us, but also scoring goals from two corners.
Headers.
I know.
Yeah. It was refreshing. You know, and we were saying it in the last pod that it's worrying that the goals have only come from a handful of players in a handful of sort of situations. But, you know, Badia Shiel and Enzo with the header.
Yeah, well, Colwill got the second, obviously not. Badia Shiel did so well for the first.
Yeah,
I mean, he hooked the ball back across, and he could really have gone anywhere. He really did do well, but that ball to the back post. I mean, Connor took a corner before that, and it was easily cut out, and there was a lot of spitting and cursing from the Matthew Harding lower, but you know, that those two balls to the back post really paid dividends. And I think Brighton were probably missing, you know, because they were missing Dunk, they were maybe a bit short of height, but yeah, it was lovely to see. And it was so nice to see Enzo being the Johnny on the spot as well, being the man to get in there and bustle through and take the goal. Because that's been one criticism we'll have had of him, you know, that he's just not sort of putting himself right in the thick of it where the goals are happening too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's and then obviously the sending off, the two yellows, I thought the first one was, well, I thought both were a bit soft, if I'm honest, but it's disappointing to sort of, I know that Connor is not a player who's ever going to shirk from a challenge, but
yeah, I mean, I do wonder about that because, you know, obviously a lot of, we always, whenever you get a player like Connor, I think people say, we don't want him to lose that from his game, not entirely anyway, you know, and you want a player to be tenacious. You want them to, you know, go hunting for the ball. You want them to not allow players to settle on the ball. But equally, I mean, I thought the first one, I thought it was a bit unlucky. And he just got to him ever so slightly late. And because of that, he ended up treading on the bloke's foot or his ankle or whatever. So it probably was, for me, it probably was a yellow. I mean, the second one was incredibly soft to my mind.
I thought it was a good tackle.
Yeah, I mean, he got the ball. The argument that people are making is that he took Billy Gilmore before he took the ball. I'm not 100% convinced of that, but you know, you in that position, do you want to be giving the referee the option?
Mm.
You know,
there were a lot of cards in that game as well.
Yeah,
it seemed a bit silly, but saying that, with 10 men, we looked decent.
Yeah, I mean, we did. I mean, I was going to say, after the second goal, it really got very sloppy. You know, I was at the game, and then it was apparent there, and watching the game again on replay on the Chelsea website, it's, you know, even the commentator on that is sort of saying, you know, we've kind of let go of the control of this game, and we've stood off, and I just thought that in midfield it looked like we were getting a little bit overrun.
Mm.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we were just a bit more defensively set in the second half, admittedly playing with 10 men, we just seemed a bit more, you know, this is my low block attack that I'm talking about, I coined the other way. Fight fire with fire and have two banks of four. I thought, I don't know if it was just the pressure is then on Brighton that they need to deliver because you're playing against 10 men, but I thought we looked solid. And I don't know if that was because we were playing a little bit more of a defensive second line, you know, the midfield was protecting the back four a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, we were playing a 4-4-1 then, weren't we, at the end? And in fairness, I think, you know, when you're thinking that defensively, and when all of your midfield and your one remaining wide player is sort of dropping back into midfield, you know, because we're not sort of committing players forward in the hope of scoring so much, then yeah, a lot of people say teams, in some respects, teams do play better when they go down to 10. And I think we certainly played better in the second half than we did in the last 20 minutes of the first half, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, should we be giving, I don't want to knock us too much, because I say, you know, as you say, it was a win, and it was a hard fought, well ground out win where we just sort of seemed to get a bit outplayed. But was it that? Do you think it was, am I not giving Brighton enough credit? Because they were pretty tenacious in midfield as well.
Yeah, I mean, they were missing a lot of players.
Yeah.
I don't think they played particularly well in the second half. I don't think, but I think
certainly not the second. No,
but you know, the last 20 minutes, I was worried, we looked vulnerable, but I don't know if that's down to us or them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, clearly when you're a man down, you're vulnerable. But I mean, I'd say it was even before that, really.
Yeah, it was.
I mean,
I
did, particularly when he made that, you know, unbelievably brought on four players at once, you know, and including Mitoma and Joao Pedro. I did think to myself, I mean, I texted a mate of mine and said, who's a Brighton fan, and said, you know, you'll win this now. Very glad to be proven wrong.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, I thought we dealt with them at that, from that point, pretty comfortably. But I just wondered if there are times, I think what I'm driving at is that it feels like there's times where, because our front three are very, very attack-minded, particularly when Mudryk's playing, probably when Mudryk's playing more so than when Palmer's playing, the midfield often, to me, look like they're not
exposed
getting,
a bit.
Perhaps, yeah, a little bit. Maybe they're not getting the support they need. Maybe the forward players are running away from them in the expectation of a pass, and you know, they're not getting the time to find that pass. But I just wondered if it might be an idea for us to think about a 4-2-3-1.
I thought that was Poch's sort of formation of choice.
Well, it could well be. I mean, it might just be that because of all the injuries and what have you, we haven't had the personnel to do it. I mean, it would be really interesting to see when Lavia comes back, whether, because to my mind, I think playing Lavia Caicedo the double six, the double pivot, playing three in front of him, whoever that might be, probably, you know, the way things look, it would be Sterling, Palmer and Enzo, and then having Nkunku or Jackson up front. I mean, it does mean that someone misses out. It means that, you know, you're not playing Mudryk, you're not playing Jackson. But I just wonder if that might be a thing going forward, because at times the disconnect between the midfield and the front three has seemed a bit, you know, and I felt that was the it looked like that might be the case on Sunday.
Yeah. I think Lavia is a player. I think he's different to Caicedo, and it will be interesting seeing them play together. If that ever happens. These are the options we've got. We've got a dearth of quality. But I still think that it all boils down to just putting away those chances, if I'm honest. And I think that's more of a concern, just because, you know, as we saw when we get an early goal, it just relaxes everyone, and we've got a bit more less pressure, and we're able to play more rather than have that panic in the back of our head, because we don't have the confidence within the team that, okay, cool, we've got the quality to win this over 90 minutes.
I mean, I thought, as I say, certainly between the two goals, I mean, around the period of the two goals, we looked, you know, we had some lovely movements, we broke into the box a few times, we were getting players forward. But I remember I watched the Arsenal-Wolves game, and at the end of that, Wolves were, they left it way too late anyway, and they didn't really look like they were ever going to look like they were going to win it. But at the end of the game, you know, and Wolves are not one of the, you know, the most impressive teams, but they were getting the ball out wide, and they were getting 4, 5, 6 men in the box with every attack they had, and eventually it paid dividends and they scored. And I did feel on Sunday at times, and again, I appreciate I'm picking holes, we won the game, but there were times where I thought to myself, well, you know, we could be four or five ahead here if we just had the bodies in the box. You know, if we just, when we got into attack, we actually sort of, you know, we pressed home the advantage. Yeah, exactly. So that's all I meant. That kind of, you know, that, as I say, that small disconnect between the midfield and the attacking players. But anyway, so let's have a talk about Connor, though. And not just Connor. I mean, let's talk about our record. I mean, look, I think it's 100% fair to say that the ref had a bad game. You know, 100% fair to say that. Our disciplinary record is not good. We're top of the disciplinary table now. And for the second week running, as everyone has said, it was our captain getting sent off. It's not a good look.
No, it's not always just bad challenges. Sometimes it's stupid stuff like kicking the ball away. I mean, Jackson was being guilty of that. Same with Reese, you know, and it's prevalent throughout the team. Yeah, so it needs to be stamped out, for want of a better word.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, you're dead right. And the likes of Cole were again almost nearly getting into another pushing match. You know, admittedly right at the very end of the game, but you don't need to get involved. And I understand, you know, and so I've seen on social media a lot of people saying, yeah, I want to see a team that's fighting. I want to see a team that's passionate. And yeah, so do I. But you have to balance that up, particularly in a game where you know, the referee is clearly card happy and not having a good game in terms of controlling the game well. You know, you've got to mix that with a sense of that we don't need to do this. We're two goals up. We're, you know, we don't need to be giving away silly fouls. Just stand players up. You know, we'll let them make the mistakes.
Yeah, but I think that's maturity. And as we've got the average age of our side is 20 something. Or it's crazy how young they are. So
I've got socks older than most of these teams. I mean, you know, and I don't want to be overcritical of Connor, because you know you and I have both
waxed lyrical about.
Yeah, we have, yeah. And you know, I think he's a great player, and I really hope he's staying, and they sort out his contract. But it's just a little bit. Mind you, let's look at the other side of the coin. Brighton seem to be determined, literally from moment one of the game, to go down with every tiny little nudge, every time they felt any pressure on them. And I think it only worsened in the second half. I think De Zerbi must have said to them, you know, you could get someone else sent off here. If you keep, you know, if you feel any little kind of vague touch, just go down. Mm. Hopefully there'll be another, you know, they'll be down the nine. Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way of the game, you know, these days. I want to see our players inciting that and inciting sort of being playing mind games and sort of getting their players to sort of lash out or give away silly fouls or get silly yellow cards. But it's, you know, it's something that will come with
experience.
With experience, yeah. And as I say, they're just a young side, but you know, when it's your captain's doing it as well, it's not a good indicator.
No.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And, you know, I mean, I think, as you say, you know, at least if we can cut out, I mean, these Connors were both for, you know, challenges.
Tackles, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think if we can cut out the kind of niggly stuff and the stupid stuff and the, you know, what you don't want to be doing is getting people booked or sent off for, you know, disciplinary thing, you know, sort of like talking back or, you know, or kicking the ball away or whatever. But yeah, you're right. We are. You know, we're a team of 12-year-olds. We need to. It's going to take a while for that to kind of like sink in, I guess.
Yeah, but I think the manager's got to drill that home. You know, Luckily we've got such a big squad that we're able to. I mean, it's kind of put us in an interesting position for the United game, where obviously Connor probably would have started. But it gives us a chance to see Gallagher in that role. Palmer.
I think you're right. I mean, as I've said on this pod before, I think Cole Palmer's a better player in the middle. I think I like seeing him as a number 10. I think, you know, he's got great vision, and you quite often see him when he's out wide cutting inside anyway. I think he's got more of the pitch to play with from there, and I do like him in that position. So it will be interesting. I'm pretty United sure that's with, what will happen.
United with sort of problems at centre-back, I'd like to see Sterling and Mudrick, players with pace, really fucking with Harry Maguire.
Yeah. Well, and fullback as well. You know, I mean, there's Dalot there. But other than that, it's been, I think at the weekend, Luke Shaw was playing in, well, I think Luke Shaw was basically playing centre-back, was playing, I don't know, he certainly didn't seem to be playing.
It was Wan-Bissaka as well, yeah. And I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I think we'll do United. I think they're in, even though they are getting, you know, getting the results, or getting better results than us in the league. We seem to be doing the business, but just falling short. They just seem to be falling short, but somehow,
I mean, they've got their. We'll talk about it in that. We're going to talk about that in the preview show, but. They've got their injury worries, of course, and you know, they've got a crowd that's a bit restless at the moment. And I think, you know, there's definite scope for us to go there and get a result. I'm really hopeful that Mudrick will stay in the team, and you know, Palmer will be in the Gallagher role. Otherwise, and I'm guessing that Reece will come straight back into the team, and possibly Cucurella will play left back, although maybe he won't.
Well, do you think De Sarzi is going to go back and pair with Thiago? Do you think Thiago is going to be rested after the Brighton game?
I wouldn't be surprised if he played on Wednesday and then didn't play against Everton on Sunday. I think he's, I think one of those guys, I think they might just want his experience for that game. And I would say that they'll keep Badiashile, who I thought had an immense game, to be fair, on Sunday. He was one of our better players, I thought. So I think those two may well stay, and De Sarzi might just have to drop to the bench. But I don't know. I mean, you know, it's... We sort of, when everyone is fit, and admittedly we're still waiting for Chilwell and Malo Gusto to come back, but when everyone's fit, we've almost got an embarrassment of riches.
Yes.
Defensively.
Yeah, we really do. But you know, Chalobah as well. But, you know, Thiago Silva can't play forever.
No. And, you know, it may be that he can't even be playing, you know, a weekend game and then a midweek game.
Sunday, Wednesday is not, you know, it's not a lot of recovery
time. Not time in between. No, so, I mean, that'll be of interest, obviously. But going back to the Brighton game, I mean, we've already touched on the ref, and I did think he had an absolute shocker and wasn't really doing us any favours. And I find it absolutely... stunning, I tell you, stunning that Brighton fans on social media are thinking that they were hard done by the ref. You know, and there was us who nearly didn't get a penalty for what looked
that
like
was
a stumble
crazy. I don't know how people would like debating that.
I mean, the pundits
on TNT or whatever.
Well,
it is,
I mean,
and on Match of the Day.
On a Match of the Day, I was kind of going, what? Bit of the him falling over Milner, this is, and falling into Mudrick's legs and thereby taking him down. Did you not see? It wasn't the arm. It was nothing to do with the arm. People were so, you know,
shoulder.
It was nothing to do with that. He made no attempt for the ball. He fell over, and his legs and knees went into the back of Mudrick's legs. It was a 100% Stonewall penalty, and I'm glad it was given. We've had a little bit of bad luck in penalties that I would have said were absolutely 100%. And I did wonder if it was one of those ones where they might say, well, there's not enough obvious, you know, there's not enough, not an obvious mistake, not enough obvious to change the referee's decision.
Mm. And then the penalty decision at the end, and then should have been, and then the drop ball, when it should have been a corner.
Oh, no. I mean, by that time, I just think he was, you know, he wanted the ground to swallow him up. I mean, I don't know if he's had any kind of come back on him after that shambles. But as we know, you know, they tend to get referees who have games like that. They get one game in the Championship and then they're back in the Premier League again. I mean, it is insane. I mean, the pen, there's an argument for me that Milner should have gone then. You know, no attempt to play the ball, last man.
Mm, keeper was there, I suppose. It was.
That shouldn't make any difference.
I don't know what the rules are these days, if it's, do you know what I mean?
I mean,
obviously,
fair,
I want Milner. Obviously, he should have. Obviously. Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't at the game. I was away to Leeds, and I did go to some away games back then. But I was about to say, I think I was at the game where he scored for Leeds against us as a 16-year-old. But I've never really liked him because of that. But I wasn't kind of super mad crazy about that. Not least because, you know, we got the 2-goal cushion back anyway. But, it would have been galling if it had made a difference in the end. You know, if he'd have popped up and scored in the end, it would have been an absolute crippler, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And what did you make of the pen?
What, how...
The actual taking of the penalty.
Yeah, quite calm, collected. Down the middle, bosh. I was happy he didn't fuck it up.
No, I was praying, mate. I was standing there going, please, Enzo. Because, I mean, I remember the West Ham one.
Yeah.
And I was also thinking, I mean, let's be honest, if the keeper had stood up, he would have saved it, wouldn't he? He would have caught it. He would have hit him in his midriff.
But that's half the you know, that's the nerve of just putting it straight down the middle.
I think so. And I guess he was sent, you know, it's easy for me to say Enzo could well have sensed that he was going to go and the best place for him to do, you know, the keeper was going to go and make a big decision. And the
best
thing
penalties
to do
are the
was...
ones that go in.
Yeah. No complaints.
No.
And amazingly after that, I didn't think we were really significantly under any pressure. I mean, I appreciate they scored again. It was a quite cute little backwards header, and we were a bit unlucky, maybe. But actually, I thought we defended remarkably well.
Yeah, and as we touched, you know, maybe that is an indication that we do want to play a little bit more of a formation that gives us a bit more stability, because while we have looked great going forward, apart from the final third. We do also look like we can be just taken to, like, just split apart very, very easily. In the Liverpool game, you know, the start of the season, it was kind of end to end. It was like, okay, cool. There's been several games where we've just looked so exposed at the back. Mm.
You're right. I mean, the start of that game and the start of the Spurs game, even, there was a sinking feeling where, in both games, the other side scored early and then had a goal disallowed. And in both of those cases, you know, I think, you know, if things had continued in the way they did, it could have got very hairy indeed. But, let's give credit where the due. And I think you're right about the low block. I mean, when we had to think and play defensively and, when we were committed to having all of our 9 outfield players behind the ball, even if one of them was, you know, first of all, Mudryk, and then a bit later on, Roya, committed to sort of getting on the end of anything that got punted up towards them. I mean, we were, you know, it was about just covering, running across, moving as the ball moved across, concentrate, stay with your man, don't let your man get behind you. There were a couple of eggy moments where whoever was playing on their left got past Ian Martson towards the end of the game, which had me worried. But did anyone in defence stand out for you? Because, I mean, it was a very good defensive or anyone in the team playing as a whole defensive unit stand out for you?
No, I don't think anyone's... I thought Colwell looked a bit dodge at points.
Yeah.
But, you know, we touched on that. I think it was more the having the midfield
being protected. Dropped back. And, yeah, exactly.
Then it's...
I mean, I will just say I thought Sanchez had a cracking game.
Yeah. He seems to have, I like him, but I don't know if he's consistent enough. Do you know what I mean? There is an error in him.
Yeah. I don't know if he's the solution to all of our goalkeeping wishes and dreams, you know.
No.
I don't know that. But once again, you know, he was, and admittedly their finishing was not, you know, their final effort on goal was not great. But, you know, he was exactly where he needed to be at all times, made a couple of very good saves. And let's give him credit where it's due. He was getting absolute pelters, wasn't he, from the Brighton crowd, which I also can't understand. I mean, let's just talk about Brighton fans for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. They're fast becoming, alongside Liverpool fans, are becoming...
the most odious cunts.
Certainly my... Well, I wasn't going to put it like that, but yes, if the cap fits, my least favourite opposition fans. And I've got a very, very dear friend who's a Brighton fan who was at the game. But it was, I mean, where do they get this level of arrogance from? This kind of, you know.
Well, I think they must all be fans of other teams because I'm genuinely serious. Because they didn't have this support years ago. Yeah. And they were a nice little team, nice little seaside town. I've got friends who used to go. And they Brighton has changed as a city since they got into the Premier League.
Oh.
It's just more people in there on match day than the city has ever seen before. And it's not the same people who were going to Brighton back in the day when Fatboy Slim was doing parties on the beach.
I mean, there's a lot of people who are like, you know, really, I mean... I wasn't going looking for it, but I was getting a lot of stuff retweeted on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, but and on other social media. But there was a lot of fans giving it the big one about little Chelsea treating it like a cup final. I was like, "Are you what?" And you know, this is from a team whose greatest achievement in this century is to come sixth in the Premier League, they were obnoxious. I mean, you expect opposition fans to give it to you on the day, but I think with Sanchez, I think what he did with Sanchez, they were booing Sanchez. And I thought, this is a man who had been dropped from the first team and wasn't even getting on the bench before he got sold. And you're booing him? Anyway, it's very odd. And they're fast.
That's also
going.
half the joy of football, just being.
Yeah, that's true.
Just being a prick.
But, you know, it's not just that. It's not just winding other people up. It's there's a real sense of it. And it's that Liverpool thing. There's almost like a sense of entitlement, you know, about them. There's a real sort of like, you know, po-facedness about it. It's not just, you Chelsea wankers. They're gobshites. I think we just need to leave it at that. Looking forward, we're going to talk about the Manchester United game. And then we've got Everton on Sunday. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the Man U game. But with Everton coming up, do you feel that's a game we should be winning as well?
Yeah, it's a game we should be winning, but it's the type of game we're just going to fuck up.
I mean, it is because, you know, they are...
We'll beat United and then have some sort of fucking disaster show against Everton. but as long as we beat United, I'll go into the weekend happy.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely take three of any kind of your earth points at Old Trafford, please. And we will talk about that very shortly in our preview show. But... one other thing I did want to bring up before we sign off, mate, and obviously because there's only the two of us, this is going to be a slightly, and because there's so many other games going on before we'll speak again. We've got this new Sky deal has come up. Now, admittedly, it's not going to be until 25, 26. But There's going to be 215 live games a season, which is an increase of 70%. What do you make of that? I mean,
well, I've got an IPTV, so every game is live. this is a comedy podcast.
Live from the comfort of my sitting room, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it's this, but they've still got this 3 p.m. like blackout. Watershed. Yeah, blackout, or whatever it is. But now there's some more Sunday games are being shown. Is that correct?
I guess. I mean, maybe there'll be more of this bloody stupid 7:45 on a Saturday. Maybe there'll be more Friday night games.
I don't know why they don't.
What's the point of the Saturday? Exactly. What's the point of the Saturday blackout if there's only two games on at 3 p.m. on a Saturday?
it's mad. It's not like no one is going to football.
No, I don't.
The stadiums are full pretty much. So I'm not sure, because that was from my understanding the reason why they didn't televise those games, because they didn't want to jeopardize the attendance on them. Is that not?
Well, that's but that's a long-standing argument that everyone pretty much has kind of seen the death of. But that's an argument, of course, that cuts both ways. You know, do we want more games shown on telly? Because it might keep more fans away from the real games. But the main thing is because they put the telly games on at such stupid bloody times that fans can't get to them anyway, you know, on a Sunday or on a bank holiday or whatever.
Christmas Eve.
You know? Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, it's going to be an argument that rolls on, because there'll be more and more games at stupid times that you know, when trains are closed down.
Well, I just hope that this just stops all talk of a Super League. Because that was always just seems to be, you never know when these evil owners will just sort of sit down and go, yeah, cool, we want. Because Barca and Real are there's something that's happened in the Spanish, or they're fucked now, aren't they? They're not getting the money. They're distributing the money differently in Spain, aren't they?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think so. I saw PK sort of talking about it. But I didn't read the full article, so I'm not exactly sure what's going on. But I think Barca and Real are complaining that they're not going to be able to compete in Europe because the funds are being distributed a bit more evenly amongst the La Liga. But they've had it this way for the last 20 years. The reason they have been able to compete and pay crazy money is because they get the lion's share of the money.
Barca. I mean, I don't know if Real were the same.
Real, I think, are fine.
Yeah. Barca in the same, were in deep crap, weren't they? Because they'd amortised all their... I think they'd signed away something like 35% of their kind of earnings, TV revenue earnings for the next 10 years in order to fund their purchasing. That was something that I'd read somewhere, and I don't know how long ago that was, but they've committed to handing over, you know, and they're working on the basis that they're going to be in Europe pretty much every year, which, I mean, they should be, but there's absolutely no guarantee of that.
Yeah.
I mean, you only have to look at the likes of Manchester United really to see that, you know, it can be spotty. It's not a guaranteed thing, and it doesn't matter how big a club you are, you can end up down the toilet.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. On yes. that happy thought, I mean, I think overall, I think we've got to be pleased with what was an actual victory as well as a moral victory, don't we?
Yes. In the Brighton game? Yes, 100%. And I look forward to having a similar feeling Thursday.
Yeah. Frankly, I'll just take the actual victory on Thursday. But yeah, that would be great. All right, mate. Well, we'll round that up there then, as it's just the two of us. You don't want to hear us chuntering on for too much longer, do you, listeners? So listen, if you're going to the game on Wednesday or indeed on Sunday, have a great time and keep the blue flag flying high. We'll be back very, very soon.
Ta-ta.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.